from the book of Acts, chapter 6, verses 1 through 7. If you'd like to find that in your Bibles to read along, or you can direct your attention to the screen. Acts chapter 6, verses 1 and following. In those days, when the number of disciples was increasing, the Grecian Jews among them complained against the Hebraic Jews, because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. So the 12 gathered all the disciples together and said, "It would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the Word of God in order to wait on tables. Brothers, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. We will turn this responsibility over to them, and will give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the Word." The proposal pleased the whole group. They chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, and Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas from Antioch, a convert to Judaism. They presented these men to the apostles, who prayed and laid their hands on them. So the word of God spread, the number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly, and a large number of priests became obedient to the faith. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. And I made myself a note, so let me get to that before I get to anything else. Can everyone hear me? Okay. If at any time during the service or future services, if you would have any difficulty, we're still working trying to tweak the sound system, if you would simply raise your hand. I did have one person tell me if I put them to sleep, I'd know they didn't hear me. But I'd prefer you just raise your hand. A substantial part of our service this morning is going to be devoted to the ordination of a new deacon, John Claypool, and to the installation of our deacons for the coming church year. But before we get to those things, I'd like to take just a few minutes for us to consider what the term deacon means and what a deacon should be. In some churches, deacons are the administrators that run the church. In other churches, the deacons might represent the ultimate authority in the church. But what does the Bible say about the role of deacons? The original term from which we get our English word deacon is the Greek word diakonos. While we normally think of the term deacon to signify an office in the church, which it also does, it might surprise you to learn that in its broadest sense, the word diakonos simply means servant. And in the order that our modern-day English Bible is arranged in, we find the first usage of that word in the New Testament in Matthew 20, verse 26. "Whoever wants to be great among you must be your servant." The term diakonos in this earliest usage didn't signify an office. It simply meant servant. And in the Christian sense, it indicated a servant of God. In that sense, every believer here this morning is a deacon, with a small d. Jesus said in John 12, verse 26, "Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant also will be." So as believers, we are all servants of God. And as servants of God, we all fall into that first category of servants I'll call general servants. We were saved in order to serve. But in addition to that broadest category of general servants, there's a second and a little more specific category of servants, and that's a group that we might consider calling the gifted servants. And we read about those in Romans 12, verses 5 through 8. So in Christ, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. So we come to these levels of servitude or these positions not so much by our own desires or the desires of those around us, but we come to those positions merely by the gifting of the Holy Spirit. These gifted servants may serve in positions of leadership, such as teachers, or they might serve behind the scenes where you never see them, such as servers or encouragers, but they all serve according to their gifts. Again, we are saved to serve. So thus far, we've considered two categories of diakonos or servants, the general servants and the gifted servants. And both of these you might consider deacons with a little d. But there is a third and a highest category of servants, or diakonos, and that category includes only those ordained to the office of deacon with an uppercase D. But with two categories of servants already, why do we need a third level of servants? We need that third level because those servants are called to be the model servants. They are to be the examples to the other two groups. That's why the qualifications for the office of deacon are set so high. Whether they also serve as Sunday school teachers or choir members, or in other areas of service, they are to set the example for everyone else in the church. That doesn't necessarily mean they'll be the most talented or even a model of their talent, but they are to be a model to others in their attitudes, in their character, and in their faithfulness. To those serving already in the office of deacon, there is a charge here for you. You are not expected to be perfect, but you are to strive to be model servants in every area of life, whether personal, family, or professional life, and you are to strive to be those models whether inside or outside of the church. To do anything less than that brings discredit not only upon your church and upon your Savior, but also upon your Creator. But when we get that model right, verse 7 of our scripture reading this morning gives us a taste of what can result. So the word of God spread. The number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly, and a large number of priests became obedient to the faith. Those called to the office of deacon, however, cannot do their appointed work without the cooperation and support of the church they have been ordained to lead. Therefore, church, I have a charge here for you as well, recorded in the book of Hebrews, chapter 13, verse 15 and following. Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of the lips that confess His name. And do not forget to do good and to share with others, for which such sacrifices God is pleased. Obey your leaders and submit to their authority. They keep watch over you as men who must give account. Obey them so that their work will be a joy, not a burden, for that would be of no advantage to you. Pray for us. If you would, join me in prayer, please. Our Heavenly Father, thank you again for this day, for the part of this service that we're about to participate in now. Lord, we are thankful that there are those willing to rise to the occasion to fulfill the mission you called us to be not just Christians, but to go out and spread the word and to lead the church in discipling and leading others to you. Lord, we ask that you remind us that we are all servants, that we are all servants of you, that we all have a job to do and a mission to fulfill. We thank you again for this opportunity, for this word, for this example that you have given to us, and the example that's about to be set before us. These things we ask in Christ's name. Amen.